This is the this is the week that we catch up, that you catch up to us. You're gonna be able to join us, Mr. Shem, in our Torah reading. We've been off since Shuas, but looking forward to getting you back again. We have double parsha, which is the parsha of Chukas and the parsha of Balak. I want to kind of say a small idea on both of them and hopefully tie together a lesson, an idea which is, I think, pertinent to nowadays and really, really forever. So let's just we'll start off with our first part, which is the Chukas. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Unfortunately, this is the moment that he makes a mistake that's going to forever keep him out of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem tells him to speak to the rock. He also tells him to bring his stick with him. I'll read the pasuk inside. It says in Perek Chaf, pasuk Zayin, "V'divrei Hashem Moshe le'mor," and it goes on, pasuk Ches, "Kaches amatev ha'kelos ha'ida atad or nachicha," go grab the staff and gather the congregation, you and Aaron, "v'dibartim el ha'sela le'nehem," and speak to the rock in front of everybody else, and Asana Mav, it will give forth water. Already we have this, you know, and we know how the story ends, that Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of speaking to the rock, he hits the rock. Well, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take the stick. Why take the stick in the first place if the whole point is only to speak to the rock and not even to hit it? But that's what happens in the end. And we know as the mistake goes on and they hit the rock, so Hashem immediately in Perek Chaf rebukes Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'al Aaron, Yan lo emanten bi latishin. You didn't believe in me to sanctify me to make Bnei Israel in front of Bnei Israel's eyes. And therefore, for that punishment, you will not go into Eretz Israel. That's the pasuk we have, Perek Chaf, pasuk in base. But if you look over here in Rashi, on this pasuk, it's a very unusual Rashi that I never really understood. It says that you didn't succeed in being mekadesh me. What was the kedush that was missing out? It says Rashi, Sheilu dibartem el asela. Had you spoken to the rock instead of hit it? Vahotzi, and the water would have come out of the rock like it was supposed to. Haisi mekudash l'ne'aida. I would have been found sanctified in front of the entire congregation. How? Vomrim, everyone would say, Ma'sela zeh, she'inu medaber ve'inu shomea, ve'inu tzarech leparnasa. This rock, which doesn't speak, it doesn't hear, it doesn't need any help, it doesn't need any parnasa, it doesn't exist, doesn't have a life. And yet, mekayim dibur shel makom, it still does the wishes of God. Kal v'chomer anu, all the more so we should. That was what was supposed to happen had Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the rock. But instead he hit it and the lesson seems to be lost. Now, I don't understand why the lesson is lost. Who knew, except for Moshe and Aaron, that Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock and not hit it? Nobody. Only Moshe and Aaron knew this information, not anybody else. As far as everyone else is concerned, how come the same Kal v'chomer isn't learned out? The same rock that doesn't need Hashem, it doesn't have needs, doesn't have wants, and it gives forth water when you whack it, when you smack it. Kal v'chomer, we should give forth, we should do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. There's no difference whether they spoke to the rock or they hit the rock. The same Kal v'chomer could have been learned and should have been learned by Klal Yisrael. That's question number one I want to ask you. Question number two. Moving right along, we have the next thing that takes place is Aaron dies. And the Anana Kavod leaves the Jewish people. And then we get attacked by Amalek. Okay. Right after that, we start to complain again that there is there's no bread and we're sick of this man. Vishlach Hashem, we're gonna read Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Vav. Vishlach Hashem Ba'am es hanachashim ha'esrafim. Hashem sends this plague of snakes and they start to bite us. Now, Rashi points out right over there, why was it dafka snakes? So it was snakes, says Rashi. Yavo nachash alaka al tzaz diba, v'yifarami motzei diba. The same nachash, the same species of animal, the same snake, that itself was affected and afflicted due to bad speech. It represents Lashon Hara, it tricked Chava with its speech. It should come now and punish those who are speaking badly. B'nai Yisrael. Is this the first time we're speaking badly in the Midbar? We speak badly all the time. We've been doing this. This is like our calling card. We speak badly all the time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. And yet, for some reason, this is the first time we have snakes sent our way. Why? Why now? And for the last question I'll ask you, and then I'll recap the questions, give it a shot, and then I'll tell you the idea compared to Balak. The last question I want to share with you is that usually when we daven that Hashem should help us when we're in a situation that we're stuck, like, for example, picture the Makos. Paro asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven on his behalf to remove the makos. So what happens? Hashem does something and the makos go away. Here, the makos doesn't go away. Here, what happens is that the snakes still stay. Moshe davened to Hashem. Hashem does not remove the snakes. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when a snake bites you right now, build this big copper snake, put it on a beam, and then when you get bitten, run to the snake, look at it, and you're going to survive. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu just erase the snakes, the plague of snakes? He did that for the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. Why not do that for Bnei Israel in the Midbar? I'll repeat my three questions one more time. Question number one is, how come the lesson, the Kal Vachomer that Klal Yisrael should have learned out from the rock giving forth water, why wasn't that learned out in the end, whether Moshe hits the rock or speaks to it? Either way, the rock did its job and gave forth water. Question number two is, why right now for the first time do we have snakes coming when we have been speaking badly in the Midbar many, many times prior to this? You know, we had the Meraglim story. There's no snakes came out and bit us when we even do the Meraglim. And finally, why doesn't Hashem remove the Makkah of the Nachash, of the Nachashim, instead of create a cure for it by creating a copper image of a snake? Just get rid of the snakes and save the day like you always do. Those are three questions. I want to share with you a thought, and I think this is an important idea in life in general, especially where we're sitting right now, both literally and figuratively. There's the lesson that was lost, the original hitting of the rock, is that for the first time in our life, Moshe is supposed to train us how to daven, how to get something when we feel stuck. Had Moshe gone to the rock and spoke to it and said, you know, we need your help right now. Hashem has commanded you give forth water, bring forth water. And all of a sudden water would rush out from the rock. Then Klal Yisrael would learn the lesson of how to pray. Moshe was right now, for the first time in our history, supposed to educate us, how do we get something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To daven for it, to ask for it, to beseech Hashem for whatever it is we're looking for. For that reason, that lesson was lost. But it was supposed to be learned at that point in Jewish history. We're supposed to know that idea at that point in Jewish history, which is why when the next thing we do wrong, when we start to speak badly to Hashem at this point in time, we were supposed to have already known how to daven. And therefore, the Nachash is taken against us, is going to bite us now, because at this point in our nation's existence, we were supposed to have transformed our frustrations into tefillah. And then when we speak badly instead of daven, so Hashem says, how could you speak that way to me right now? Right now, you're supposed to know better. Moshe was supposed to have taught you this lesson. The fact that he didn't means that right now, you're not going to be treated the way that I usually do, which is kind of like, let it go. I'm going to punish you for the way you're speaking because you should know how to speak better than this right now. And he sends a snake. But when this time comes to remove it, he doesn't remove the snake. He creates an opportunity for us to learn how to daven better the next time. Because when the snake bites you and you run over to the copper image, Mishnah Rosh Hashanah brings down and it says, it's not the snake that saved us after we were bitten. You look at the snake, which was pitched up in the heavens. It was a big pole and it was well higher than us. We look up at a snake and we see behind the snake the heavens. And we would have in mind the Kodesh Baruch Hu, please save us. It will be our tefillah. And that's the reason why Hashem didn't just remove the snake. Because the goal at this point in time was that we should know how to daven better. Moshe didn't teach it to us. We spoke ill. And for that reason, the snakes bite us for the first time because we should know better. And finally, Hashem lets us know better by having us go to the snake and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by looking up at the snake and seeing the heaven in the background and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how, ultimately speaking, we are saved. Why am I telling this to you right now? It happens to be that in life, there are times when we're expecting different things out of us. If you picture, you know, any of you have younger siblings. So, you know, when your siblings were much younger and they did some feat that you've been doing for many years already, your parents might applaud them for their great efforts. Those of you who have younger siblings, or if you've seen young children, you know, Akiva's busy walking in the park now, is a niece or nephew, but you know, I'm sure that child is given a lot of applause and encouragement when it'll go to the bathroom by itself. And you may think to yourself, hey, what do you mean? I go to the bathroom myself all the time. How come no one, you know, gives me claps and applause and snacks for cleaning up after my own mess? Because you're 18 years old, because you're 19 years old. You're supposed to be able to do those things already. At different stages in life, different things are expected of us. And since at this point in our history, we're supposed to learn how to daven, when we don't daven well, that is held against us. And right now, at this stage of our lives, you know, if you picture what last year would have been like, had the coronavirus been going on last year at this period of time, what would you have been doing with your time? I have no idea. I don't know the answer to that question. But I can only imagine it would have been a great challenge. What do you do? There's no sport games going on. You know, how many TV shows can you possibly watch? It's hard. It's very hard to figure out how to spend your time. But you're a different place right now in your lives. You've sat through over a half a year of yeshiva experience, of learning more about yourself, of figuring out how to connect more, of davening to Hashem, of learning. And that puts you in a different place right now in your own life, in your trajectory of your own life. And different things are expected of you. And because that's the case, when you sit around and you have your friends who maybe had different experiences than you had in yeshiva, and you can be a source of inspiration for them. I've had many people ask me questions. How do I deal with friends of mine who aren't like me right now? You know, how do I balance the friendship on one hand, but not wanting to fall prey to their things that they do on the other hand? And it's an excellent question. I don't believe you should just drop friends, Stom. I don't believe that you should. Friends are very important people to have around you. You have a long history with them. But you also realize that you're different now. Things have changed. Things are different. What you say when you miss a basketball shot is different than what you used to say, maybe. If you stub your toe, the reaction, your mindset should be very different than it was about a year ago. Because we're different people. Our lives have changed. And where we are now in our trajectory is also quite different. And that's the lesson of this week's Parsha, of Parsha's Chukas, that we're supposed to develop and grow when that development is supposed to happen. And if it doesn't happen, we're held accountable for selling ourselves short. And over here we see in the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished mostly because the Jewish people were supposed to learn a very important lesson from him of how to speak to Hashem when they needed him most. And they didn't learn that lesson, but they were held accountable for it nonetheless. That's part one. But how come he took a stick? How come Hashem set him up for it? Why did he take the staff with him? So to answer that question, I'll get to the next point I want to raise, which is Parshas Balak. Quick word, Parshas Balak, to tie this in. And with this, we'll close. In Parshas Balak, we have a Gemara Makos that brings down. And Parshas Balak is the representation in the entire Torah. The Gemara Makos, Dav Yudim Abiz, I'll read it to you inside. It's an unbelievable Gemara, but one that if you look at it a little deeper, we should be very bothered with this application to our Parsha. Gemara Makos, Dav Yudim Abiz, says the following. Min haTorah, min haNeviim, min haKsuvim. Let's read the people who say, Amar Rava bar Ravuna, Amar Ravuna, Amrila, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav Lazar. Min haTorah, min haNeviim, min haKsuvim. We have a source in all of Tanakh, in Torah, in Neviim, in Ksuvim. B'derech she'adam rotzeh leilech ba, molich noso. The way a person wants to go, that way Hashem will help you get there. And it quotes this week's Parsha as a source. Min haTorah d'chsiv, it says in Parshas Balak, lo se'lechim ahem. I'll read the pasuk for you inside so you can appreciate what the source is. And we'll see in a minute why it's actually a very difficult source. After Bilam sends messengers to Balak, Balak sends messengers to Bilam to have him come and to curse the Jewish people, and he goes to Hashem, and Hashem says, don't do it, and he says, okay, I can't go. And the next night, again, they send back again. He said, no, please come with us. And finally, Vayavo Elokim El Bilam Perek Chavbeis Pasuk Chav Laila Vayomer Lo Im Lekrolecha Bao Anashim Kuch Lechitam Kum Lechitam. If the people have called you, if they want you to go with them, then go with them. Go with them. Kum lechitam. It says, the Gemara Makos, I'll give them a bees. First Hashem says, lo selechim ahem, and then says, kum lechitam. Okay? Makes a lot of sense. Bilam wanted to go. Hashem says, b'derech sh'adam rotzeh leilech, b'molichno, so however you want to go, Hashem will let you go. So here we see Hashem let him go. He said, no first, and he pushed and said, okay, so go. However, this is a very unusual source for this din. If you think about it for a second, what's the next thing that happens? He goes on the way, and immediately Hashem stops him from going. He has his trusted steed, his trusted donkey, his chamor, and the chamor sees an angel, and the angel tries stopping it from going. One time, two times, three times. How about the pasuk we just quoted, that however you want to go, Hashem lets you go there. He helps you to go. He lets you go. It's not true. Hashem stops him over and over again. As a matter of fact, Rashi does not quote this Gemara Makos where the Gemara quotes it. Rashi waits. So after the entire story with the chamor, with the donkey, and then psukim later, many psukim later, about 13 psukim later, 14 psukim later, after the donkey situation happens and the malach appears to Bilam, but pasuk lamed, hey, if you're a malach, Hashem, Bilam, lechim anashim, so go with the people. And there Rashi quotes, b'derech shad motzei leilech b'molich noso, however you want to go, Hashem helps you go there. Now that makes a lot more sense. Why? Because at the end of the day, he did go. And he didn't stop afterwards. Hashem didn't stop him. The problem is the Gemara didn't quote that pasuk. The Gemara quoted the pasuk 15 psukim earlier, where he stopped him over and over and over again. How can that be the source? How can this be the source of that din? It seems to be exactly the opposite scenario. And Rashi waits to say this concept until after the whole story happens with the Malach, because that makes much more sense, because then he actually does go in the end. So how do we explain this whole idea? So I'll share with you the following thought. The mistake that we're making is we're assuming that when it says Hashem lets you go, as if Hashem says, okay, see you later, close the door, and says you're on your way. The word molich means to bring. Molich means to bring. It means that Hashem will do the following thing. And this pasuk is exactly the best example of it in the entire Torah. Hashem says to Bilam, you want to go? I'm going to be molich you there, which means I'm going to take the donkey, and I'm going to take the reins, and I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to stop you every once in a while to double check how you really feel about this. But Hashem takes you on the journey, hand in hand. And he walks with you, and he'll stop you, and he'll say to you, are you sure you really want this? Is this really what you're looking for in life? And Hashem will give you many opportunities to opt out if that's what you want. And that's why Bilam is a great example for it. Because Hashem lets you understand at times, this is not for you. If you want to go, you can. He's not going to stop you. But he's going to walk you to the edge. Like imagine when you first went to Israel for the year, maybe, you know, or you went to camp for the first time, your parents may have walked you to the bus. And they waved at you as you're walking away, as you're driving away, if those of you who took buses or you took airplanes. And they said their goodbyes to you, and they waved. And they, you know, they saw you to the last second. Or you go to the airport, and you know, and your dad or your mom will take you to the airport, and they'll go up to the gate where they can't go anymore, and they'll wave goodbye at the last second when they can't come with you anymore. Hashem is molech you the same exact way. Hashem takes you. He doesn't just stop and say, okay, get out of here and go on your way. He takes you by the hand, and he walks with you step after step. And he says to you, are you really sure you want this? This the way you want to head next? And he stops and he pauses and he asks and each time over to, until you get to the final gate. It's okay, you know, journey's finished and now you can do what you want to do. But he never leaves you high and dry. And that's the message over here of the story of Bilam and Balak. Because Baruch Hu's molich you with his hand, takes you, questions you, are you sure you want this? But you always have a chance to pull out whenever you want. Moshe Rabbeinu had a staff in hand during the time period of the hitting of the rock, which is supposed to speak to him. And I saw the Sefer Rav Breuer, the Sefer Chachma Musar points out, this is the third time in our history when we have a story with water, where we can't find water to drink. The first time was right after we left Mitzrayim. We found bitter waters. We couldn't drink the water. It was too bitter for us. And Hashem says, throw this bitter stick in, and the bitter waters will become sweet. We had a second time when we had no water again. That was in Shmos. In Perek, Yid Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, in Refidim, we couldn't find water. And Hashem created Yesh Me'ayin from nothing, a rock that gave us water. And then finally over here, the third time, is in a place called Kadesh, in Bamidbar Perek Chaf, which is what we just talked about beforehand, when there's water in a rock, but we can't get it out. And Rav Breuer pointed out, listen to the three different examples. We had water, but we couldn't drink it, it was bitter. That was the first case. We had no water. It didn't exist, and Hashem created it for us and let us find it. And the third case, it was there, but we couldn't figure out how to access the water. And Rav Breuer says that water is Torah. Water is Torah. And picture the journey right now that we went on ourselves already and that we're still going on, of course, in life till 120. Water, Torah, we looked at, it was bitter to us. We didn't want any part of it. It wasn't for us. And Hashem had to take something bitter and threw it in to make that bitterness sweet in the end. Because Hashem performs miracles for us. He lets you get there if you want it. Hashem will help you if you want it. And he made the bitterness tolerable. But then we had to get it ourselves. We had to get, now, okay, I know that I can do this now, but I don't have it yet. And Hashem is motzi from a tsur, from a rock, from a selah. Hashem takes this rock, which is, again, the word there is not the same word. It's a young rock. It's in the early stages. And Hashem creates water from that, from nothingness. Hashem allows you to find the water that's in that rock. And now that water is sweet because we've already sweetened it and now we've gotten it ourselves. But there are times in our life when we're going to be stuck and the wellsprings have closed up. And we're not feeling inspired. And we're not feeling connected. And we don't want it right now. We're not interested in it right now. And there we need a leader to pull it out of us. And Moshe Rabbeinu took a staff in a hand, not because he was supposed to hit the rock. Because a staff represents leadership, like a scepter of a king. And we look to our leaders and we say, direct me and guide me. And Moshe with that staff in hand, the reason why he took the stick was not to hit the rock. It was to remind everyone how far they had come. This staff was a staff of miracles. And it's here right now with Moshe Rabbeinu to remind you to get that stuff out of that, get that water out of that rock. Push it, you know, figure it out. But Moshe didn't see it through to its end and instead he hit the rock. But the lesson is still the same. At times in life when we feel like we are clogged, like we're not getting anything, we need to turn to our leaders. We have to be rotzeba. We have to want to get there. And if we do that, if we turn to our leaders and people who we know have our best interests in mind and are trying to get us there by the staff they hold in their hand, by the leadership they hold in their hand, and I know them and they know me, they know what's best for me, they're trying their hardest to help me out. It's a derech shani rotza lelech, and I want to go in that way. Then you can be guaranteed, you can be sure that ba molichin osa Hashem will help you get there in the end. In this last number of weeks and last number of months, really, the whole world has been shut down in a scary, frightful way. For those people who wanted to find God and greatness in the leadership, they found it. But you have to look for it, you have to want it. And it's very hard to want because you turn around you and you're not surrounded by momentum. You're not surrounded by chaverim. You're not surrounded by anything except for the four corners of your room, except for your house, and you're all going stir crazy. So you have a choice. What do you want? What do you want to go in? If you want it, Hashem will take you by the hand and help you get there. And if you don't want, Hashem will take you by the hand and help you get there also. But he takes you by the hand the entire way. And at any point in time, you might decide to change your course of history. It's a Talmud very close with, who himself was struggling to know which way he wanted to go. This happened somewhat recently. And he was slipping badly. And he just was not connected. And he had an experience about a few weeks ago only where his life was just like shaken. He was shaken by something that took place by a week that he had with some friends. He was like, his mind's changed. And things that he never thought were possible for him, he's coming back and he's trying to reconnect at those same things. And now, what happened? He wanted to find it. He just didn't know. He couldn't figure out where. So Hashem held his hand the entire way through. And each time he would pause, are you sure you want to go down this road? Until eventually he felt that tug enough and he says, I don't want to go there anymore. I don't. I want to come back. And that's when you got to find people with a staff. And where I would get a phone call from that Talmud saying, I want to come back. There's a Talmud of mine I had a number of years ago, whose brother was in yeshiva a few years ago, Shana Bet. And he was okay, Shana Aleph. He was okay. And he was in YU and he switched to another secular school afterwards. And he was going the way of those type of guys that he was in college with. He wasn't interested in going to the religious route. And he was kind of like letting himself go a little bit. And as he was ending his senior year, he looked around himself and he says, I don't want to go this way. And he called me, a matter of fact, he called me the phone. He says to me, do you have time to speak? I said, yeah, I'm happy to speak. And he described to me, I don't want to head this direction. Now, what happened? How did he pull this off? Because Hashem held his hand the entire way through. Hashem held his hand. Hashem walked him the whole way through. Through every party he went to, Hashem was there holding his hand. Until the time came when he had an extra tug by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, I don't want this anymore. And he knew who to come to. He knew which Rebbeim he could come to. He knew what represents the staff, a leadership position, when someone's able to come and say, how do you get me out of this mess right now? And that's the beauty of the Jewish people, is that you have leaders around you everywhere. You have your parents. You have your school teachers. You have your Rebbeim in yeshiva. Maybe you have older siblings. Whatever it might be in the end, you have mentors. And at any point in time, you can choose to redirect yourself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right by your side to do it. So I'll give you a bracha. Number one, you should know. Number one, hopefully you're on the path anyways, where most of you, I think, are. You wouldn't be listening right now if you weren't. And the path anyways, you're heading in the right direction. But if ever there's a time when you feel like you're losing a little bit, so just remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not let you go. So Bilam is the example. Hashem walks with him the entire way through. You can turn around at any moment you want. And Hashem gives you a squeeze here and there, a tug once in a while. You sure you want to go this way? It's your call. You can, but I'm walking with you each way. Tell me when you want to stop. And if the time comes when you're able to, when you need to, you pull yourself out of it. So that's an unbelievable lesson. But I'll say more than that for many of you. You might be the mentor to someone else who's going through this in life right now. It could be a family member and it could be a friend. But they've been through a path and they might find themselves struggling. And they see you and they recognize something different about you. You have a feeling, you have a confidence, you have a simcha, you have a happiness that they never saw before. And they don't feel that way. And now you can be a mentor. You pick up the staff because you can play a role right now for somebody else who might need you in their life. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to have done. That's why he was punished so severely, because he should have represented this leader to train them how to do things better. And for whatever reason it was, he didn't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him for it in a very severe fashion as well. We should make sure to follow the lesson, the lead, and learn when we have a staff in our hands, when we are mentors, in fact, we should make sure we play the role of a mentor and we're able to be a great role model, not only for ourselves, not only for our immediate family, but for our friends and our loved ones. Subscribe for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you guys next week. Have a great Shabbat.
Thank you.